Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And now we are ready for number 8 in the 10 steps to enter the kingdom of God. And let's understand this. No one is going to enter the kingdom of God unless they go through all of these 10 steps. There's no shortcut to it. And it really involves an awful lot in our lives. You see, the calling of God, and to be a true Christian, to grow, to change, to overcome, to develop the character of God, is all accomplished through the 10 steps of entering the kingdom of God, are all tied one to the other, to the other, to the other. So it starts out with the calling, and then belief and repentance and baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit, growing and overcoming, developing the character of God. And now we come to number 8, which is endurance. Because there are many people who don't have endurance. There are many people who are just so shallow and flippant that they don't follow through. Some have good intentions. Let's come back here to Mark, the 4th chapter, and let's see about what Jesus called the sowing of the seed. And let's see that most people do not have endurance. They begin, but they don't finish. They start, but they don't complete. And we're seeing this in Christianity in the world today. People are not taught the right thing, so Christianity is going downhill, as I've said many times, literally imploding upon itself, because they're not taught the truth of the Bible. They are not taught how to develop the character of God. They are not taught the 10 steps on how to enter into the kingdom of God. And after all, that's the whole goal. And after all, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And what is the whole focal point of the ministry of Jesus Christ, but talking about the kingdom of God? Mark, the 4th chapter, he talks about the sower. And the sower, as we will see, is the word of God. Now, let's come here to verse 14, because this explains the parable. Some of the seed were sown in certain places, some alongside of the road, some in good soil, and so forth. So verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word of God. Now it says in the parallel in Matthew 13 that the sower is the Son of Man. So the word of God goes out. Do you have a Bible? How many Bibles do you have in your house? And right now today, there are hundreds of millions of Bibles being produced every single year. And in America, in the surveys that they have taken, the average American home has 4 Bibles. And yet, if you never open them, you never read them, never study them, you don't know what is in there. And consider this. Here are the words of eternal life that are there. As Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, and the flesh profits nothing. And yet so many people are out producing fleshly pleasures, excitement, fun and games, all of this sort of thing, self-centered, narcissistic, yet they never open their Bibles. Oh, people are fed up with religion. Oh, they're fed up with Christianity, so you have that today too. And that's because it's built on lies and myths and hypocrisies and false assumptions. So let's read what Jesus says. What are you going to do when you hear the word of God? What are you going to do when you understand that God says, you shall have no other gods before me, or you shall not make any idols, you shall not take the name of God in vain, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? And most Christians immediately forget the Sabbath day and say, oh, well, we have Sunday, the first day of the week. God set that day aside. Lie. You can't find any place from Genesis to Revelation which talks about Sunday as being the day of worship. No wonder when the word goes out, a lot of people don't do anything with it, But here we have the explanation of the parable. Now, verse 15. Now, the ones, by the way, where the word was sown, these are the ones who hear, but Satan comes at once and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So if you don't do something with it, Satan's going to come and take it away. And the ones which were in like manner sown upon rocky places, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so happy to hear it. But then a lot of things come and interfere and drown it out, see? Or problems arise, or they find, well, you know, I need to keep the Sabbath. And they go to tell their boss, well, I'm going to keep the Sabbath. I need Friday sundown to Saturday sundown to keep the Sabbath. He says, if you do that, you're fired. Oh, well, no, let me rethink this again. See, you can't even take a little persecution. Never even thinking about the fact that maybe God would give him a better job. Verse 17, but because they have no root in themselves, they do not endure. And we're going to talk about endurance because number 8 is endurance. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, they are quickly offended. Are you? Are you offended at what I say? Are you offended because I constantly refer to the ministers and preachers and popes and cardinals and archbishops and bishops and priests who supposed to proclaim the word of God but are liars? You ought to read Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah about all the false prophets. Maybe that'll help you to understand it. And then read what Jesus says about the false prophets that come in sheep's clothing. Now, continuing on, verse 18, those which were sown among the thorns, these are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things that come into their lives choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Which category do you fit into? What are you willing to give up for eternal life? What are you willing to change to follow the 10 steps to enter in the kingdom of God? How much endurance do you have? Do you like to hear good words preached, but you have no endurance? Now notice, verse 20. Now those which were sown among the good ground, these are the ones who hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, 130-fold, 160-fold, 100-fold. So yes, in order to fulfill and do and to bring forth and increase 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold, you've got to have endurance. You've got to have the strength of God's Spirit. You have to have the determination of the mind of Christ in you in order to do it and to go forward. Because endurance, if you don't endure, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God, and you're not going to develop the character of God. Come back here to James, the first chapter, and let's see. There will be trials of faith, just like it says there in Mark, the fourth chapter. There will be those things that will come along. See, because God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. He's given us free moral agency, and he wants us to choose. What will you choose? God's way, the straight and narrow way, or the broad and easy way? James, the first chapter. Notice how we are to look at these things when they come upon us. And we will have many things that come upon us to see if we will endure to the end, because Jesus said, the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. Now I want you to think about that scripture and reverse it. The one who does not endure to the end shall not be saved, correct? Yes, indeed. So here James talks about this very thing. Because everyone wants to have their version of Christ. How many Christian churches are there? Open up your phone book and look at it. Look at all of the churches. And ask yourself a question. How can they all be right? An impossibility. What you need to understand is this. God alone is right. His word alone is true. And if even though they claim to be a Bible church, and they keep Sunday, and Christmas, and New Year's, and all the holidays of this world, they are not a Bible church because they don't believe it and follow it, though that's what they call themselves. Amazing, isn't it? Now, verse 2, James 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you are beset by various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's what God wants. He wants to know, will you endure? Are you willing to grow and change and overcome when you have trials and testing of your faith? Because they will come. Because you see, Christ died for you. What are you going to do for Christ? Look at all the things that he endured and all, as we'll see a little bit later on, the contradictions of sinners against himself. What are you willing to endure? Verse 4, but let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking in anything. That's why you need to endure. That's why it is step number 8 in the 10 steps to enter the kingdom of God. Now come down here to verse 12. Blessed. Think about that. When you have a trial, we need to count it all joy when we have trials. Well, now that's a little difficult to do when you're going through it, but let me tell you, through experience and enduring, you can look back on that and see that it was the hand of God, and that's exactly what God wanted you to go through, to test you, to try you. Do you really believe? Really, 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 really believe? Because God is going to give you an eternal life if you do. And if you endure, that's what you're going to receive. Verse 12, blessed is the man who endures trials, because after he has been proved, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, there's another scripture to help you endure, too. It's in Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's come there, Romans 8 and verse 28. Never forget this. Always remember, even in the darkest times of the darkest trial, the most heavy thing that you go through, if God is dealing in your life, which he is, if you are having a testing of your faith, which you are, then your endurance will be inspired by remembering this. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things, I want you to understand that, all things, not some things, not part of the things, but all things, whether it is good or bad or ugly, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Have you answered the call? That's the very first one that we had in the 10 steps, right? Answering the call that God sends out. Because many are called and fewer chosen because few repent. When the going gets tough, remember, God is with you. Christ is with you. They will help you. They will intervene. They will hear your prayers. And they will answer them for your best benefit so that you endure. Now, since we're in the book of Romans, let's tie this all together and see how the Apostle Paul wrote it. Romans 5. Now, we've explained what it means to be justified by faith. So, Paul develops it from there. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to have peace with God. You want to be fighting against God? Anyone think they can fight against God, fight against his word, and get away with it? Why not repent and have peace with God? Now notice what this does then. Verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace. You want the grace of God to be upon your life? The grace of God is like an umbrella over you, protecting you, from which comes the love of God, the truth of God, the faith of God, and everything that comes from God. It's all through his grace, and how you can keep the commandments of God in the Spirit and understand the whole meaning of it. See, that's all the grace of God. Notice, this grace in which we stand. And that grace of God is over us. And we ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also boast in tribulations, realizing that tribulation brings forth endurance. That's why we have trials and difficulties. That's why, as James said, we have the testing of our faith to prove, do you really love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being? Do you really believe the word of God? Do you really have stick-to-itiveness? Are you really willing to work through the difficulties and problems? If you are, you'll develop endurance. Notice what endurance does, because this relates back to point number 7. And endurance brings forth character, the very character of God. That's what he wants us to have. Consider Jesus, which we will in just a minute, what he went through, what he endured, you see. And character brings forth hope. That you know the kingdom of God is coming. You know that you have an entrance into the kingdom of God. You know the promises that God has given, that you will escape the carnal fleshly nature and inherit the divine nature, the sinless nature, the loving nature of God. And that will come, as we see in point number 9, which is the resurrection. Because God's work with us is not finished until the resurrection. If we endure to the end of our lives and are buried and put into the grave, that's fine. Our physical life is ended, but the work of God has not been finished until the resurrection. Verse 5, and the hope of God never makes us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the power of God, which has been given to us. Now, isn't that something? Let's look at some more that we need to understand concerning endurance. And remember, don't take it any strange thing if a trial comes upon you. Remember what happened when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was there? And they said, oh, Lord, Lord, we're about ready to sink. The waves are coming in. They had to go awake him because he was asleep in the stern of the boat. So he got up and said, wind, be still. Phew. A great calm set in. Can Christ fight your battle for you? Can Christ help you in all circumstances? Yes, indeed. We have the promise in Psalm 34 that he delivers us out of all our troubles, right? Yes, indeed. Now let's come to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and let's see what we have here. Hebrews 12, what Jesus did for us, what he went through, and he set us the example, and he is the one that we are to follow, and he is the one that we are to walk in his footsteps. And if God did this for you and suffered for you, are you willing to be long-suffering and enduring and suffer for God? Remember, whatever you lose in this physical life, you're going to be rewarded above and beyond at the resurrection. If you've been faithful, if you have endured, if you have loved God, if you've grown in grace and knowledge, follow the 10 steps to enter into the kingdom of God. Now here, concerning endurance. Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entraps us, and let us run the race set before us with endurance. Don't let anything, anyone, any circumstance, any combination of problems take you away from God. You have to run the race with endurance. All right, verse 2. Here's how you endure, because you are armed, you are strengthened mentally and spiritually, you are strengthened because your mind has been transformed, you are strengthened because you have the Spirit of God, you are strengthened because you have faith, you are strengthened because you have hope, and you are looking to Jesus Christ, no other man, no other solution, Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse 2, having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith. And he set the example for us. He paved the way for us. He was the forerunner for us. Now notice, continuing verse 2, who for the joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross. Now, have you ever endured anything like that? Now, I know Mel Gibson didn't tell the full story, but in his Passion of the Christ, he did show accurately what scourging was all about and being nailed to the cross, although the cross that was pictured in the movie was not the kind of cross that Jesus was crucified on. But nevertheless, he endured the cross. Question, what have you endured? What problem have you been confronted with? What is going to make you turn and give up? Will life with death, any of those things do that? No. Endured the cross, although he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, why was this put here? Why was this example given to us? Because we are now in this generation going to be facing terrible and horrendous times that we have never been confronted with in our lifetimes. And unless we are prepared mentally, unless we endure spiritually, unless we yield to God, let Christ be in us, claim the promise that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now here's what we are to do, verse 3. Now meditate deeply on him. That's why you need to study the Gospels. Think how cheap and flippant it is in the costless Christianity of this world. Oh, we don't need to study the Gospels because that was for the Jews. How are you going to meditate deeply on him and understand what he went through unless you read and study the Gospels? Now meditate deeply on him who endured such a great hostility of sinners against him, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. Remember, no one, not even the disciples, could stand for Jesus on the night that he was arrested and the day that he was crucified. He had to endure it alone. Come back here to Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 3, who, being the brightness of his glory, that's of the Father, and the exact image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus had to go through that by himself, all alone. That's why darkness covered the earth between the sixth hour and the ninth hour. That's why when he was on the cross, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Could he endure that? Could he go through all of that? That is the one who set the example for you. That's why Paul wrote, now meditate deeply on him who endured such great hostility of sinners against him, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. And think of this, whatever trial you're going through, whatever difficulty that you are experiencing, verse 4, remember this, as Paul wrote, you have not yet resisted to the point of losing blood in your struggle against sin. Look at this age of all the comfort and all the luxuries and blessings that we have. And yet it's all going to come cascading in on us like a breaking crystal house that is going to just come down into nothing because we have rejected God in our government, in our schools, in our lives, in our courts. And because we have not served God in truth, it has not been preached in truth, the punishment of God is coming on this nation because of our sins, because of the difficulties. And so you need to be able to endure and understand what is coming. Now let's understand this. Claim the promise of Psalm 91 and God's protection in faith and in love before God. So point number 8 of the 10 steps in entering into the kingdom of God is endurance. Endurance comes from the Spirit of God. Endurance comes from experience. Endurance comes by relying on God and trusting in God in everything. Now be sure to go to our other website, cbcg.org. Spend some time there. We have hundreds of sermons covering a multitude of subjects, in-depth teachings of the Scripture. If you're hungering and thirsting for the Word of God and the truth of God, you will find that every single sermon there is based upon the Scriptures, the truth of God. We are not giving the theories of men. We are not giving the myths of men. We are not teaching the lies of men, but the truth of God. And so once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.